Okay, so discussing this week's Torah portion, this week's parsha, Parsha's Korach. You know, we try to pick out one particular issue from the parsha. So, if you look for a moment at Parak Tazayin, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Well, actually, we could start with Chaf. Pasuk says, Vayadaber Adonai al Moshe v'al Aharon le'mor, Ki badlu mitoch ha'ida hazos, v'achaleu som kiraga. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron, listen, separate yourselves from the rest of this camp, because I'm going to do something. I'm going to smite them. I'm going to snuff them out. In an instant. The Torah continues and says, Vayiklu al pneihem, Vayomru el Elohei haruchos l'chol basar, Ha'ish echad yecheta, V'al kol ha'ida tiktov. They fell on their faces, Moshe and Aaron, and they said to Hashem, Hashem, Hashem of the world, of all people, is it possible that one man will sin and you'll be angry with the entire nation? Some form of supplication. Okay, that was their prayer before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in the commentary of Rabbeinu Bachai, which you don't have in your Chumash necessarily, but the Rabbeinu, it's again, Perek Tet Zayin, beginning of Parshas Korach, it's 16, 20 through 23. 16, 20 through 23 are the verses that we just read. So the Rabbeinu Bachai, in his comment to this pasuk, says Mikan lenefilas apayim betfila. This is the basis, or this is the foundation, or the source for doing what we call nefilas apayim betfila, for doing the falling upon the face associated with tachanun, associated with the supplications, falling in Shmoneh Esrei betfila. Again, this is Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayiplu al pneihem, lehispalel. Rabbeinu Chai says this was an act of tefillah. U'mikan u'nefilas apayim betefillah. And from here we have a source, we have a basis, a makar for nefilas apayim betefillah. V'da, ki inyan nefilas apayim betefillah yesh bo shalosh kavanos. There are three reasons or three purposes for the nefilas apayim. To demonstrate awe of the Almighty. Hashenis laharos tsar v'hachna. Second is to show some form of humility before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to show that we are in a state of tsar, a state of pain. Vashlishis laharos asiros chushov ubitul hargashosov. To show that one is entirely mavatal himself and removes his any personal agenda from himself when he approaches Hashem. Then he goes into detail in explaining each one. Again, he repeats, Ha'achas lamora hashchina, kidei sheislavish bezeh boshas v'tznias, kikisei aponim midarkei anava boshas. The first, again, is to show awe of the Almighty when we put our heads somehow covered and we fall on our faces. That shows a sense of humility, a sense of tznius, as is often associated with covering of the face. Ulefisha kavanas hamispalel shashchina kenegdo, and when a person is mispalel, he understands the concept of da lefni miata omid. The person is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as it says in the pasuk, shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid lakach teknu. Therefore, associated with this supplication, with this techina, is the process of covering one's face. That's Vakol Yirsa Hashem Yisbarach. And he goes on to explain it in more detail with Psukim and so on, but that's the basic idea, that this is for Mora of the Shechina. And the Nefilas Apayim, first basis is Mora of the Shechina. Fear of the Almighty, Hachna before the Almighty. The second is Laharos Tsar V'Hachna. The second is to sort of show supplication. Hanki, he says, Ki Hanofel Alpanov Mitzdar V'Nichna. person falls on his face, he's pained and he's humbled. And humbling oneself is an integral component of the tshuva process. And that enables one's tefillos to be accepted. Kadosh Baruch Hu feels his pain. Kaviyachol, he's acknowledges the person's need. Mamali shelaso, and he fulfills his desire, grants his wish. V'cheinim rozal al atzadik hamitzdayer chalash daite. You find in the Talmud very often it says such a lashon, chalash daite va'osematra. Achziv asematra. V'domolaza, many cases in the Talmud. V'domolaza amr b'mitziya shilhi perak hazahav. D'bisu the Rabbi Elezer, achzei the Rabbi Gamliel havei. Me'ahu uvda ve'elech lochav shavkalei l'Rabbi Eliezer l'min pa'alpe b'tachnuna. V'ha'inin kidei shalei yitzdayer. They didn't allow a person to excessively grieve, to be involved in excessive tzar. Mitoch ha-tzar v'achna v'ha'elbon ya'anish es Rabban Gamliel achi. Shaya rosh yeshiva v'shabruchuhu be'etzaso. Ha'lamata shalahaysa misyaris ha'gvaras ha'zos shi'anishayu b'tfilaso el mitoch nefilas apayim. Again, that the linchpin to this whole process was the nefilas apayim. The Rebbeinu Bechai goes on and says, v'sham gomer ha'maysa shemitoch nefilas apayim ha'enishu ha'enisho shehi lo nizhara b'yom echad shahaysa svura bo shahaya rosh chodesh v'lo chash shalashama b'oso yom v'az nafal alponav v'shama kol shipure v'rabban gamliel achay v'omra le kat lose la'achay. Because of the nefilas apayim, you brought about this awful consequence. So again, this is the power of the nefilas apayim. And finally, he gets to the shlishis, the third basis for the nefilas apayim. He says the shlishis laharos asiras chushav ubitul hagashosav. A person is mevatel himself in the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu ki nofel aponav. Mechasa inov v'sosim piv, covers his eyes, he seals, he closes his mouth. V'hu maskim machshavto she'ina roa nizko v'so alto, v'eino yodea darko v'inyono, v'ein b'yado l'hafik ratzono, im ina kadosh baruch hu maskim al yado. A person is showing, listen, I can't speak, I don't see anything, I can't do anything, I can't bring about any result without the help of a kadosh baruch hu. Ki'ilu hargashoso b'telos v'asiros mimtso chavtar. That's it. He's unable to bring about anything of his own desires without the aid of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then, towards the end of this paragraph, he writes, "Lakach nahagnu b'kivan haraglayim v'lo hayadayim u'b'shem Rabbeinu Haigonzal ki min haroy la'odam lipol alpanav b'tzad smol." Person should dafka fall on the left side, which we'll come back to in a moment. And the reason was, Nosam Tamuzah ki l'shabed b'nefil sapayim hayad Haromezes Cheiros Beleil HaPesach. Same tzar that you lean on to show Cheiros, right? You demonstrate your aristocracy and your freedom and your independence. It's the same direction to which you do the Nefil Sabayim to show now I'm Machnia myself, I'm in awe of your presence, and I'm totally Mavata my own hergation. It's time for the sunglasses. Time for sunglasses, that's it. Good night, Irene. All right? So again, the Rabbeinu Bechai here says that there are three bases for Nefil Sapayim, and the basic source is from this series of psukim over here. But the three reasons are Lemura Shechina, to show Tzar and Achna, and to show the removal of one's own personal agenda and feelings. However, when we move over to the halachic literature, the Tur Shulchan Aruch, the son of the Rosh, in discussing the Nefil Sapayim, he writes the following. He writes, this is in Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph, or Chaim Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph, La'acher shesim hashatz chazar satfila, after the chazan finishes the repetition of the Shemona Esrei, we call the chazar satshatz, nofum al pneihem u'meschananin. We fall on our faces, or the tzibur falls on its faces, and they offer supplications. And then he quotes the Rambam. He says an interesting thing. He says, "No from our plane was chadonim." And he quotes Rav Naturoi Gon. He says, "Rav Naturoi kosov nefil sapayim betzibor al pneim achar hatfila reshusi." It's not an obligation. It's an optional. It's an optional supplication. Now we'll see that is not necessarily agreed upon by all of the halachas. But before we move on, I just want to point out one or two last basic sources and deal with this idea of Nefil Sapayim. The Medrash Tehillim. Medrash Tehillim writes, I thought I had it with me, but apparently I do not, that we find the Makor for Nefil Sapayim in Mincha. The quote over there is, Tzarech Adam Lizvados Chatasa Lizchanin Betfilas HaMincha. The specifically at Mincha, that there is an idea of being mischanin in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and doing Nefilas HaPayim. It's discussed by the Rivash as well. Maybe we'll come back to that momentarily. But the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, in his comments to the tour, he writes the following: the Kasav Talmidei HaRashba in Hazahav, Gabi Uvdu de Rabbi Yelezer ben Hurkanus. A person shouldn't be masik between the tachanun and the Shemoneh Esrei. To be careful, the tachanun is essentially a continuation of the Shemoneh Esrei. It's an extension of the Shemoneh Esrei. So, as such, you're not supposed to be masik. You shouldn't speak or otherwise interrupt, you know, between the end of Shemoneh Esrei and the beginning of tachanun. We were discussing the other day how some people are not careful about speaking at certain times, putting on tefillin and doing other things during chazos hashatz. Here's another one of those times where a person has to be exceedingly careful not to be mafsik. Okay, the king kasa rabbi na gadol mahari abuhav b'shem suroros, meaning surachayim, the mahari uvda shamin and shein lahasik bein tchina tefila. The king kasa baruch haschayim in the name of the gaonim shein ladaber bein tefila tchina the kula kein tefila arichtahi. It's like one long, and the Rav was very particular about this. Rav Salvejik felt that that in fact was the way to look at Tachnon, that it's not a Rishus, it's a Chiv, and that it's actually an expansion or an extension of the Shemoneh Esrei. Then he cites the Rivash. The Rivash in the Tshuva says, Ein lahakpid b'til sapayim shetiyu meyushav. The person doesn't necessarily have to be seated. Vim ratzel asosim umar harishus biyado. That's not the generally accepted practice, but there is a basis for this already in the Rishonim. I used to see a certain individual when I was a young child. He was the only person I ever saw do this. Every day he would say Tachlin and he would stand and lean up against the wall. That's the way he did Tachlin.
There's a picture like that in one of the Oppenheim pictures.
I don't know, that's the way he did Tachlin every day. He never didn't sit down, he'd stand up and lean against the wall. I mean, Beis Yosef quotes Rivash saying it's a Rishus, not saying that you have to do it that way, but this person in particular do it that way. I don't know if that was his personal minog or didn't want to be bothered sitting down. But that's the only individual I've ever seen do that as sort of a practice.
If one were at the Western Wall, would one sit down or would one stand up for Tachlin?
I'm not aware of any special
way. I mean, because and maybe look over the.
I'm not aware of any such reason. No. Oh,
okay.
You're saying it's better to sit down?
Yeah, sure. For the first, I mean, we'll get to it. There's different stages of Tachlin. There's three stages of Tachlin. There's the sitting down and actually doing the Nefilas HaPayim. Then there's the seated posture, and then there's the standing posture. And the idea being, among others, that a person beseeches at God from all postures, doing our best, that you're showing God, listen, doing everything here, falling on my face, I'm sitting, I'm standing, and I'm still in need of your assistance. So that's the Rivash. Lefidas Chachmei HaKabbalah Nirshesh Lahakbit Shetiyem Yushav Yushav Dafka. Beis Yosef says that based on the Kabbalists, it seems that it's appropriate to be dafka seated. And then we have some other rules. The Rokeach says, for example, and this will come back to Bina as well, and the Nefilas HaPayim is only done in the presence of a Sefer Torah. Meaning the actual falling on one's face is only done in the presence of a Sefer Torah. The Rokeach was famous for being the makar for that understanding. We'll see that is not unequivocally accepted by the later poskim. There is that basic idea, but there are a lot of exceptions to that. The simon davar dechsev b'melchema sa'ay v'yipol al ponav aratzah b'fnei aron Hashem. The pasuk that the Rokeach cites is a pasuk from the Sefer Yehoshua, where it says that the people fell before the Aron Hashem, specifically fell in front of the Aron. So if the filo over there was done dafkof from the Aron, Rekech says, so the implication is that if not for the fact that the Aron was there, then they wouldn't have done this in the field. And it says the Beis Yosef, Bani Omer, Mkabal, and the Kabel, Vimlo Din Yeshuva. As I said, we know we'll come back to that momentarily. Finally, Beis Yosef quotes the Mari Abuhav over here in the name of the Sefer Tzoros. He says, Balaila Inba Nefil Sapayim. There's no Nefil Sapayim at Ma'ariv. It's only at best during Shachar's and Mincha. Da'in in Shekin Mekubal Chachamun Ki Nefil Sapayim Remez Lamidas Halaila. Ve'inofun Apneim. Ve'karov. If someone does this, he's doing something inappropriate. This is the type of lashon that the Kabbalists use, and the katzitz benetios is a very strong lashon. He says the Rikanti writes that in this week's parsha as well. Okay, so let's sum up what we've said here. The Beis Yosef is alluding to. Beis Yosef here is alluding to the fact when he says at the beginning, "Pashut bekamu mekomos b'talmud shenoflam l'apneim la'achar hatfila." It's stated in many cases that the nefilas apayim is done after tfila. So he's alluding to this Gemara in Bava Metzia. I guess those that are doing a daf should be recent history. All right, so I don't know if it was everybody, or I don't know enough about. Who's included and who's not? Is it just his family? It sounds like Korach Valdasa, whoever was included in his following. Okay, let's just another few haros here about the connection to Nefil Sapayim and the Parshas, what we started with. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia, getting back to the Gemara in Bava Metzia that everyone seems to be alluding to here, the Gemara says that. This is the Gemara again in Nun Tesam and Beis in Parak HaZahav, excuse me, where the Gemara says that the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, after the Maisa that's mentioned, they put her in Cherem, and they didn't allow her to pray with Nefil Sapayim. And when one time she did that, she erred, and she thought that. She thought it was Rosh Chodesh, and you don't do Nefil Sapayim, and that wasn't the case. And therefore Rabbi Eliezer was being mispal with Nefil Sapayim. So that was goring for the death of her brother, Rabban Gamliel. This is the Gemara that we alluded to earlier. So the Rishonim said, what exactly caused the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, right? What caused her What exactly happened here? I'm sorry. Ema Shalom de Bisu de Rabbi Lezer Ach Say de Rabbi Gamliel Havi Mahu Maisav Eilech Lo Hava Shavkalei Rabbi Lezer Meplal Ape. She didn't allow, I beg your pardon, the wife of Rabbi Lezer. Right, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, who she didn't allow him, she didn't allow her husband to do to say Tachnun. So one time it happened that she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, and that you don't say Nefil Sapayim, and there's no Tachnun in general. But the truth is it wasn't that way, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer was mispalal b'Nefil Sapayim. That caused the death of her brother, Rabban Gamliel. Now she didn't step in. She wasn't vigilant to make sure he didn't say Nefil Sapayim. She thought it was a day when you don't say Nefil Sapayim, so she wasn't around to say, hey, don't say Nefil Sapayim. To prevent it. This is the Gemara Bava Metzia. So in fact it wasn't Rosh Chodesh, they did say Tachnun. He said Tachnun, and it says that her brother died, Rabban Gamliel. So what does that mean? She understood apparently the implications, she understood the great strength of Nefil Sapayim, and you see that because Rabbi Eliezer was so upset that they put him in Nidoy. So if Eldam Nefil Sapayim from his tzar, then they were concerned that this is going to be some pega, some type of destruction, some type of injury, some type of damage is going to take place to those people that were menadeh, those people that put him in cheirim. So, and that's exactly what happened when he was mispalel with nefil sapayim. He was mitzdar and machniah himself over the fact that he was a nidoy in cheirim. The power of his tefillah was so great that it led to the demise of one of those individuals that put him in cheirim, which included Rabban Gamliel, his brother-in-law. And the Ritva says, "Tamiha milsa, heich efsha shalot tozos mimena kol yom." It's hard to understand how she would be there all the time, making sure that he wouldn't daven in.
And how could she stop them? That doesn't make sense.
So there are two basic approaches into exactly what's meant here. The Ritva, which is cited by the Beis Yosef, says Mikan Mevi Raya Rabbeinu, right? The Mikan Mevi Raya Rabbeinu sounds like he's talking about the Rashba. She'asu lahafzik b'sichu b'dvar ma'achirim she'enam shal tefila, being tefila in the field sapayim. And the Beis Yosef explains that the wife of Rabbi Eliezer would cause him to be masik. That's the way she would keep him from saying tachna. She, every day after his Shmon Esrei, she would go and make sure that he was mafsik. And once he was mafsik, then he couldn't say tachlin anymore.
So he couldn't walk out of the house to daven?
How did she bring it about? I don't know. That's not,
sounds like she's a very difficult person.
Well, this was done intentionally. It was done intentionally to avoid what ultimately happened. He's saying tachlin.
She should have gotten her brother to get him out.
Okay. And then if he would have done it after the hefsek, says the Beis Yosef, it wouldn't have been as efficacious. The tachton wouldn't have been as effective. It would have been divorced from the Shmon Esrei, and it would have been somehow less potent. So that you see from here that the Beis Yosef brings is that you're not allowed to be mafsik between Shmon Esrei and tachton, because it's kula ke'in tefila arichtehi. It's all one long tefila, Shmon Esrei and tachton together. And maybe we'll just conclude with one or two last points that are related, and that is that this halacha is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's not just the Beis Yosef, but this halacha is brought down that one is not allowed to be masik between Tachnon and Shmon Esrei. The Mechaber openly says, "Ein ladaber." This is Kuf Lamed Aleph Sif Ches. "Ein ladaber being tefillah nefilas apayim." One should not speak between the culmination of Shmon Esrei and the beginning of Tachnon. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, if he does speak, if he is mafsik, it's not as effective. It's not as effective. Where does he know that from? Oh, he knows that from the Helmaisa with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel, and those we showed him who explained that that's what the wife did. The wife every day would make sure he would be mafsik. But the Mishnah says this is only when you're involved in things that are unrelated. But if it's just a little bit of conversation, that's not necessarily going to cause this type of diminution in the effectiveness of the tefillah. Certainly, if you're talking about Kedusha, someone says, oh, do you say Tachin today? That's not going to have that we're talking about. Kigon Mashim Afsikim Betchinos Kigon V'Hurachom. That's Mutter. You can answer anything that's a davar shev kedusha, even though you're in the middle of tachnun. I think we once spoke about it. Even though you're in the middle of tachnun, you don't necessarily get up in the middle of tachnun, but you would answer davarim shev kedusha. And the Mishnah Berurah says that that's based on the Magen Avraham and other achronim. Okay, all right. We still have a little time. We could do. I don't know if that. You had it, or you have
more minutes? I don't have to run. Nobody's bothering me today.
Okay, that's good.
Could you review what the story was? I'm not.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. And it's very similar to the mothers who used to bring gifts to the mothers of the Kohen Gadol. Used to bring gifts to the people in the Eir Miklat. They shouldn't be mispalel for the demise of the Kohen Gadol. Similarly, over here, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, who was the daughter or the sister of Gamliel, felt that his tachton would, if he was going to be mischani, his tefillah would be so effective that it would bring about a very bad result.
But why the tachton in particular?
Yeah, we don't know. Oh. Yeah, the Gemara didn't say, but apparently, it's apparently because of the idea of tachton, and that is that a person is expressing his tsar. It's an expression of one's tsar and hachnan. She felt that Rabbi Eliezer was on such a level that if he would be machni himself and express this tremendous tzar that he had, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have, so to speak, no choice other than to bring him salvation, to remove him from the tzar. So she wanted to avoid that tefillah to be from being offered in that way. So she would not prevent him from saying it, but she would cause a hefsek. She would cause him, I don't know, somehow to speak in the middle or something. It's not clear exactly what she did. But somehow she would cause a hefsek. If nothing else, you see from here the importance of not being mafsek between Tachlin and Shmoneh Esrei. And that's, again, that's recorded here in Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah certainly supports that. All right. There are a number of other details here in terms of the connection between the Tefillas HaChayim and Shmoneh Esrei. I'd rather perhaps maybe leave that for another time since we already essentially addressed that. So let's just make one. Yeah, I had a couple of things that we talked about. Let's just talk about quickly about the Tefillas HaChayim at Mincha. And maybe one other idea. So the Beis Yosef quotes this Mari Abahuv, who we saw already, is one of the Kabbalists, and it's Sefer Atzeros, who says you don't say Nefil Sapayim at night, but you do say Nefil Sapayim at Mincha. And over here, and again in Shulchan Aruch, same Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph, where the laws of Nefil Sapayim are discussed, the Mechaber brings down this halacha that Tachlin is said at Shachris and Mincha, but not at Ma'ariv. Ein nefil sapayim b'layla. Lashon the Mechaber is ein nefil sapayim b'layla. One does not recite. This is Sif Gimel. Ein nefil sapayim b'layla. Ubelele ashmaras nogim lipol apneihem. Shukar v'liyom. At the very end of the night, in the earliest part of the morning, then already there is an idea of doing Tachlin because that's essentially daytime. And the Mishnah Berurah explains. Mishnah Berurah explains the following. Hatama pi Kabbalah, this is Beis Yosef, v'lomar mizmor shel nefilas hapayim ein chashash afil b'layla. To say the actual tachlin, that's a problem. To do nefilas hapayim, that's the actual problem. To say the mizmor of nefilas hapayim, to say that lashon, apparently, that's not such a concern. The concern is more in terms of the nefilas hapayim. B'layla, says the Mishnah Berurah, v'lachein ein nimsho, im nimshach hatfilas hamincha ad alayla ein nofla apneim. This is important halacha because a lot of times you find a minyan, they don't get the minyan right away, or you daven in a place where maybe they're not so makbid on the zman, and they daven the mincha, it's already after shkia when they finish mincha. Right? They daven very close to shkia, and by the time they finish mincha, it's already oy shkia. It's past the shkia. The shkia is gone. So the Mishnah Berurah says if they do that, so it's already, there's room to be lenient, we know it to be lenient and to say tachlin. But strictly speaking, you're not supposed to be mispalel tachlin, fil sapayim, after zman mincha, after it's already considered nighttime. And he says an interesting thing, that if it was a day when you would normally have to say avinu malkeinu, but you're worried by saying avinu malkeinu, you're going to miss the zman for saying tachlin, you could skip avinu malkeinu to ensure that you'll say the fil sapayim, mi ba'od yom, that's the Magen Avraham. And other achronim cited here by the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, sorry, I don't need to.
Why don't you say it at night?
He says it's not zman, not the zman for the Tefillas HaChayim. That's the only lashon of the Mechaber. It's not the proper time for it. Why is it not the proper time? It seems to be based on al pi kabbalah that it's not a proper time for these types of tchinos or these types of supplications. And more than that, I can't tell you. But that's what the Beis Yosef brings, that we don't do it like that for that reason. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a greater insistence, it seems, in terms of practice, not to say Tachlin after Shkia. Let me just read you a little bit from the Piskei Chugos, who discusses this. Really, Makbid, I would say, it certainly sounds like from his Lashon that they're Makbid, not to say Tachlin after the Shkia, after sunset. Again, this is the Piskei Chugos here on the same Simon, and Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph, he writes as follows. Again, in discussing this Mishnah Berurah, second. want to ask yourself anything?
No, just what the whole prayer is about talking about.
Okay.
The whole discussion.
Right. So here, I'll tell you what this is first. Im nimshacha tfilas hamincha laila eino flapneihem bein hashmasho salaila nogen lipo. Ach haminag b'Yerushalayim, he quotes the Halicha Shlomo, that's of Shlomo Zalman, written by his grandchildren, in the name of Shlomo Zalman, Chamira Sakanta, and in Tfil Kelchasa, quoting from Elul Yashiv, that the minig in Yerushalayim is to be very particular, not to be mispalel, not to sing the Tfil Sapayim, and he says, Bechol Eretz Yisrael, after Shkia, no more Nefil Sapayim. So we have a famous psak from Rav Moshe that anything that's a din in Shkia, you still have between 8 and 9 minutes to continue doing. So most poskim here in America, I'm not saying all, but most would say that a person could still say the Tachlin for another 8 minutes after the Shkia. And Eretz Yisrael, they don't have Rav Moshe's psak, and then to Rav Moshe's, you know, not the posig achron in Eretz Yisrael. So there's no such thing as 8 minutes after Shkia. Shkia, and that's it. And he writes here that it's not just in Yerushalayim, it's in Eretz Yisrael in general. And we know that that's also the general practice in Chutz Laretz. Why? Meshachashashu gam besofeg laila ledvarav hachamurim shal beis Yosef al pi kabbalah. Shana nofel apayim harezim akatzitz benetios chas v'shalom. That someone who says nefils apayim at night, it brings about ruinous effects. Again, it's Kabbalistic. I can't tell you. Can't tell you what that means. Then he says, "Yesh mekom shenogim lo lomar tachlin fil sapayim b'mincha," even though it's before Shkia. That's minig in Chutz Laretz because they very often daven mincha in such a way that the zman Shkia is aruch b'yoser, and they finish after the Shkia of the Gaonim, and therefore they didn't make a distinction between this Shkia and that Shkia, or davening mincha significantly before the Shkia or not. In general, Ashkenazim do not follow that practice, and they say Tachlin at mincha. Okay. You know, obviously, then you always have the question, what do you do if you're in a minyan where they do say Tachlin, and you're not saying Tachlin, or they don't say Tachlin, and you do say Tachlin in reverse? That's a general question, and obviously the general rule is that one does not do something in public in the tzibor, in the face of the tzibor, that's a deviation from what the tzibor is doing. And that's important halacha, not just here. It's always important to remember that. Okay. All right, well, I guess we'll stop here. I'm going to just conclude with one last interesting thing. Sometimes you go to shuls, certain shuls, they never say tachlin. Right? He always says, it's a yard site today. You go to certain neighborhoods, it's always a yard site. It's always, they have a list of all the yard sites. Gedolim, tzaddikim, the rabbis, basically. So where does that come from? So the tour, again, was of the opinion that Nefil Sapayim is a reshus. That's not a universally accepted understanding of Nefil Sapayim. Others said, no, it's an actual obligation. But if you look in the Ber Hetev, the Ber Hetev is nota to be mekel, that the person doesn't say tachlin at mincha, at a place where there's a baby after his milah. After his milah. The Ramos specifically says in such a case that you do say tachlin. That's a whole separate study, what the relationship between a bris and the milah is. A bris and tachlin. Is it the whole day? Is it not the whole day? I'm sure everyone's encountered this dispute, you know, in the shul once or more in his lifetime. There's a bris later, there was a bris, the bris was in a different minyan, the bris is in this minyan. Mm-hmm. So you look in the Ramah says, "Ubiyom ha-mila she'en omrim tachlin," sorry, this is Mechaber, "dafka shachris." The Mechaber says it's only a shachris when they do the mila, but later at mincha, there's no more pass for tachlin. "Afal pi she'mispalan eitzaltino kanimol," you know, the baby might be there, it's not like a kid chasen during Sheva Brachos, it's the child during mila, "omrim tachlin," says you say tachlin. Says the Ber Hetev, "Aval habach b'shem Rashal kasov she'en omrim tachlin b'mincha she'mispalan eitzal tinok. V'chein no'egin b'brisk delito, v'chein no'egin b'kraka, v'chein nir l'hakal kevan n'fil sapayim rishus." This is all based on the understanding that it's rishus from the tour. And therefore, when there's a baby that was mild earlier that day, and you're in the presence of the baby, you don't say tachlin. Okay, what does it have to do with the tzaddikim? So again, the Piskei Tshuva says that based on this idea that the minhag developed in certain places, that you don't say Tachnun at a time of Simcha, different types of Simcha, and there are those who don't say Tachnun on the Yom of the Hilula of a Tzaddik, on the Yahrzeit of a Tzaddik. Where does that minhag come from? So that minhag seems to come strictly for Hasidim. We don't have such an idea. The minhag seems to come from the Talmidei HaBesht, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, and it's something that's unique to the Hasidim, I would say, that they have this practice of not saying Tachlan on the day that they observe a Yahrzeit for one of their Tzaddikim. However, the later poskim, the Rav Avadja, writes that Im nizdamein le'echad l'spal b'es ha'knesset shahanogim kein ve'im b'yada limchos tzorach shi'omar tachlan levada. If he's davening in a place where they do this and they don't say tachlan, he says he should say tachlan b'yichidus. They're doing something wrong and he should say tachlan. Ad kedei kach, that he felt so strongly about it. And Piskei Tshuvos also brings from Rav Moshe a similar psak. They really felt that this was not proper al pi halacha, just to avoid saying tachlan because of the hilula of a given tzaddik. It's over here in footnote 144. He says, quotes Rav Moshe. He says in the Sefer Tefillah Kehilchasa, it's brought in the name of Moshe Feinstein. Shamas pal b'minyan kazeh yomrar tachnun la'atzmo va'al yachlosh la'yura ole losis godnu. He says, if you daven in a place where you see that not saying tachlan and you feel it's neged halacha, there's no basis for not saying tachlan. This is not a valid basis. You should say tachlan. You don't have to worry about deviating from the minhag because this is not a real minhag. They felt very strongly about this. Not a real minhag. Not a valid minhag. It's not yuhura. It's the proper thing to do, and a person should do that. Similarly, I'll do this with this. I'll conclude. It's important to note that he still says that you should do what you can to try to avoid machlokas. And you look over here in the River of Sephraim, he dealt with the same issue. This is Rabbi Chaim Greenblatt, and with this we'll conclude. He says, you're diving a place where they're not saying tachnun. As lo yomar, if they have a halachic understanding, it makes sense al pi halacha, then don't say tachnun. Avol him lo omrim biglal petur el mitam sheish yortzeit, which he obviously feels is not a petur, shal echad, as madu yivatol min hago v'yomar tachnun. Why should you yivatol yiminik? You should say tachnun. Afil be'echad shomer vidoi, v'yigim umidos, mispal makom sheinom, yachol omar, ve'im bezom isham shini minag avaseichem. Like the Avnei Nezer says, ki echad, achar ha'tfila, yachol omar mashi yortzeit. Tfila's over, you can do whatever you want. The calls are biyachid. That's biyachid. But if the guy's a shatz, then he's in trouble. He can't daven out loud. They didn't send him up to daven a different nusach of tachlan. That's a separate idea. Okay, so again, he supports this idea that if a person's in a shul that is not saying tachlan simply because of this idea of not saying tachlan, they have a yahrzeit, which is strange, I have to admit, it's a strange idea, then one need not refrain from saying tachlan, even though the tzibur is saying tachlan. Again, there's much more to be said here about tachlan, the association with the Sefer Torah, which we only alluded to from the Rakeach. There's what to talk about, and the connection to tefillah, there's more to talk about, but suffice it to say that according to many of the Rishonim, the notion of nefilas apayim, that one leans on the left side and covers up his face, is somehow rooted in this week's parasha, in which Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces and were mischanning in front of Hashem. The fact that it's connected to Shmon Esrei is something that's taken very seriously by the Gemara and by the later poskim, that it's actually part of the Tefillah Richta, and to be masik they would be inappropriate, and by being masik actually one is diminishing the effectiveness of such a Tefillah, and that Mincha, we say Tachlan, we try to do what we can to make sure it's before Shkia, in Chutz Laretz, those that follow Moshe can be makel for another 8 minutes, in Eretz Yisrael, where they don't follow that Pesach, one should be very particular about finishing before the Shkia. At Marv, there is no Tachlan, that's based on the Kabbalah, that it would be very dangerous to say Tachlan at that point. And with regard to this minhag of saying Tachlan, or not saying Tachlan on a Yahrzeit, it seems that for the Hasidim that have it, we're not going to be able to convince them otherwise. But those that don't have that minhag, if they find themselves in such a place, they should in fact say tachnun, but perhaps do it in such a way to avoid machlokas. In some places, I would dare to say that if you did that publicly, said tachnun in such a place, it could really be a sakanas nefashas. You come into the middle of certain places where they're aggressive, you know, they're not going to take lightly to take well to that practice. Okay, so everything that we said should be lahalacha v'lo ma'isa, and we should be zocha to no longer have to say tachnun. And we should have a good Shabbos. Dr. J, if you're still there, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Why should we not have to say tachnun?
Saying we shouldn't have any more tzar. We shouldn't have things to be mischanin for. We shouldn't have to things.